Sayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Yirvanadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Yirvanadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Yirvanadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tirana Charya. Jamuna Tirthavanacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Yirvanadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Yirvanadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tirthavana Charya. Jamuna Tirthavana Charya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Yirvanadhari. Gopidana Balava Yirvanadare. Dasodananana Vradadhanaranjana. Yasodananana Vradadhanaranjana. Tamunatira Vanacharya. Tamunatira Vanacharya. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Viharya. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Viharya. Paramahamsa Parvadakacharya Asatara Sadhu Shri Sriman His Divine Grace Shalasi Bhaktivedanta Swamira Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, Text Number 1. Shri Bhadarayanir Uvacha Evam Yavasito Budhya Samadaya Manoridi Jajapa Paramam Japyam Prag Janmani Anu Sikshitam Sri Bhadarayani Ravacha Evam Yavasito Budhya Samadaya Manoridi Jajapa Paramam Japyam Pragjan Man Yanushikshitam Shri Bhadarayani Ravacha Evam Vyavastito Budhya Samadaya Manoridi Jajapa Paramam Japyam Pragjanman Yanushikshitam Shri Bhadarayani Uvacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Evam, thus, Yavasita, fixed, Buddha, by intelligence, Samadaya, for concentration, Manaha, the mind. Riddhi, in consciousness, or in the heart. Jajapa, he chanted. Paramam, a supreme. Japyam, mantra he had learned from great devotees. Prakjanmani, in his previous birth. Anushikshitam, practiced. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind and his heart with perfect intelligence and chanted a mantra, which he had learned in his previous birth as Indradumna, and which he remembered by the grace of Krishna. Purport. Such remembrance is described in the Bhagavad Gita, 6:43-44. Tatra tam buddhiyo samyogam labhate paravadehikam yatate chatato bhuya samsidau kurunandana purvabhya senatenaiva riyate yati sopi saha. In these verses, it is assured that even if a person engaged in devotional service falls down, he is not degraded, but placed in a position in which he will, in due course of time, remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As explained later, Gajendra was formerly King Indradumna, and somehow or another, in his next life, he became the King of the Elephants. Now, Gajendra was in danger. And although he was embodied other than that of a human being, he remembered the stotra he had chanted in his previous life. Yatate chatato bhuya samsidau kuru nandana. To enable one to achieve perfection, Krishna gives one the chance to remember him again. This is proved here, for although the king of the elephants, Gajendra, was put in danger, there was a chance for him to remember his previous devotional activities, so that he could immediately be rescued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is imperative, therefore, that all devotees in Krishna consciousness practice chanting some mantra. Generally, one should chant the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the Maha mantra, or great mantra. And also, one should practice chanting Chintamani Prakarasad Mansu, or the Nrisimha mantra, Strotra. Ito nisthingha parato nisthingho yato yato yami tato nisthingha. Every devotee should practice in order to chant the mantra perfectly, so that even though he may be imperfect in spiritual consciousness in this life, in his next life, he will not forget Krishna consciousness, even if he becomes an animal. Of course, the devotee should try to perfect his Krishna consciousness in this life, for simply by understanding Krishna and his instructions, after giving up this body, one can return home back to Godhead. Even if there is some fall down, practice of Krishna consciousness never goes in vain. For example, Ajamil, in his boyhood, practiced chanting the name of Narayan under the direction of his father. But later on in his youth, he fell down and became a drunkard, woman hunter, and rogue and thief. Nonetheless, because of chanting the holy name, chanting the name of Narayan, for the purpose of calling his son, whom he had named Narayan, he became advanced, even though he was involved in sinful activities. Therefore, we should not forget that chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, under any circumstances, it will help us in the greatest danger, as we find in the life of Gajendra. Sri Badarayane Uvacha Evam Yavyastito Budhya Samadaya manoridi jajapa paramam japyam prajanman yanu shikshitam. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind and his heart with perfect intelligence and chanted a mantra which he had learned in his previous birth as Indradumna and which he remembered by the grace of Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tunamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskyadya Desadarane Neha Bikramana Shosti Pratya Vayo Vidite Swapam Apyasi Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobaya. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that on this path there is no loss of diminution, and even a little advancement can protect one from the greatest danger. Generally, Prabhupada defines the greatest danger as the risk of falling to the lower species of life. But here we find Gajendra actually fell into the lower species of life. Similarly, Bharata Maharaj, he retired early, or he retired from his kingdom, and he took to meditation on Krishna and practically achieved perfection. At least he achieved the lower stages of bhava, of transcendental ecstasy. So anyone who's falling asleep, better stand up. Practically, he was in ecstasy, but somehow or another, he became attracted to a deer, a fawn, and he became attached to the fawn and forgot his Krishna consciousness. And as things go, he remembered the fawn at the time of death and took the body of a deer. Therefore, this is confirmation that yam yam vapi smaram bhavam fyanjan fyanti kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadata bhava bhavitaha, that whatever one remembers at the time of death, one achieves his next body. That's chap yukramati sharaha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that whatever one's intelligence, whatever intelligence one has at the time, whatever conception of life one has at the time of death, it carries on one to the next life. Srotram, chakshus, what is it? Shariram yadavatnopi yats chap yukramati shraha vihi vaitani samyami vayorganda ivashaya. The living entity, he carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, and thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. So presently we have a certain conception that may be considered our faith. Everyone has some faith, some idea of what is reality. It is not a question of the way we dress, what we look like, although that might indicate something about our conception. But actually it has to do with our actual modes of nature we've acquired. Every activity that we do produces some reaction. In other words, everything we do, everything we think about, everything we consider produces some result. Either it elevates one or degrades one. Or sometimes it may keep one in the same position. And we act according to the faith that we have. Everyone has some faith, some idea of what is reality, what is to be done, what is not to be done. And especially in human form of life, we have some choice due to the fact that we can utilize our free will, the fact that we have some creativity in the sense that we can decide or invent or pray to Krishna to give us some alternatives, what is to be done and what is not to be done. And of course, we choose our alternatives according to our conception. If a person walks into the forest in the mode of ignorance, everywhere he looks, he'll find a nice place to take rest. If a person's in the mode of passion, everywhere he looks, he'll think about cutting the trees down and making some money. And if the person's in the mode of goodness, everywhere he looks, he'll see birds and he'll think about how beautiful they are and hear the chirping of the birds and think how beautiful the forest is. And if a person is transcendental, he'll chant Hare Krishna because he'll see everywhere that there are souls entrapped in these tree bodies, the bird body, the ant body, and he'll try and help them out by freeing them by chanting the holy name. So according to one's conception, one will have a different idea and will perform different activities. So there are two creations in every activity. The first creation begins within the mind, and that has something to do with our conception. And then, according to the creation we make within the mind, we perform different activities. Therefore, those who are chanting Hare Krishna, it's understood that as much as they can chant the Hare Krishna mantra, they have some conception of utilizing whatever energy they have in the service of Krishna. So that desire to utilize whatever energy one has in the service of Krishna makes one's life transcendentally perfect. But from the point of view of material position, one may not, by his, for instance, neglecting his duties, as it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, tyaktva siddharma charanam bhujam harer, Bhajana Pakvotat Patetyato Yadi. Yatra Kwava Badram Abudamushakim Kovarta Apto Bhajatam Sadharmataha. That one may perfectly execute his duty. And if he does that, undoubtedly, he should make advancement and get a higher form of life. But sometimes, one may give up his duty, tyatva siddharma, charanam bhujam harer, and take to the devotional service of Krishna. He may suddenly leave his family, etc., and take to the devotional service of Krishna. For instance, there was one devotee, he was guarding the cows. He was the son of Banu, elevated person, but used to be that there was no electronic surveillance and etc., TV cameras. So someone had to stay up at night with a sword in his hand and protect the cows from the tigers. But it so happens that one day, one tiger, during the new moon night day — new moon means that there is no moon — in complete darkness, a tiger crept into where the cows were pasturing, and the cows began to scream. So this kshatriya, he took his sword and went to protect the cows. And he thought he found the tiger. So with his sword, he cut the tiger's head off. Unfortunately, it wasn't the tiger. It happened to be a cow. But the edge of his sword clipped the ears and the nose of the tiger, who started to bleed and ran off. So the next morning, to the horror of the kshatriya, of this prince, he realized he had killed a cow. So his spiritual master, Vasishtha Muni, who sometimes becomes quite disturbed over these things — he curses quite a number of people in the Bhagavatam. So another person he cursed his disciple, that you, because of the sinful activity, you shall become a Shudra in your next lifetime. So not wanting to become a Shudra in his next lifetime, he went into the forest and began to meditate on Krishna, and after some time he became perfect in transcendental realization, left his body and went back to the spiritual world, and therefore avoided the curse of his next lifetime because he didn't have a next lifetime. So similarly, everything that we're doing in this material world results in some future existence. One cannot avoid that. That's called the laws of nature. So in the course of time, one may endeavor for spiritual perfection, but if he gives up his occupational duties, he may, in his next lifetime, get a reaction and even be low-born. So what we may think, well, that's not very nice. But still, it is said that auspicious Krishna consciousness will continue in all circumstances. So it is a question of what we think is more desirable. If we think that, you know, even if I can't make it back to the spiritual world, they told me at least I should get back, I'll be in the heavenly planets. How did this happen? I want a refund. Who's in charge here? I want to see him and complain. How did I take this birth? So the fact is that due to the inconceivable workings of the laws of nature, it cannot be guaranteed exactly what birth we're going to take in the next lifetime. But what is guaranteed, the only thing that's actually guaranteed, is that as much as we perform devotional activities and make advancement, that much Krishna will help remind us when we take up that devotional process again. And as we can see, Gajendra, although previously he was Indradumya, and he was an advanced yogi meditating upon Vishnu, so much so that although he was cursed to become an elephant, somehow or another, in his elephant body, he was able to remember Vishnu. He was able to remember the mantra he chanted, because he was greatly advanced in chanting that mantra. Therefore it says, Aho bata swapacho to garyan, yad jiva gre vartate nama tum yam. Tapustapaste jahuvu shasna arya, brahmanuchora arya Brahmanujura, Namagaranaste. And how wonderful it is that simply by chanting the holy name, that even a dog eater, generally we don't think dog eaters are going to be great devotees, but even a dog eater, if he chants the holy name, he becomes more elevated than even the most exalted Brahmin who's not a devotee of Krishna. Aho bhata swapato chod garyanya jivalkre vartate namatum yam. That such a person, he's said to have executed all the rituals of Vedic customs, such as tapas tapus te jahuvu shasna arya. He's executed all the types of tapasya, austerities. He's bathed in all the holy rivers. He's studied all the Vedas. He's executed brahmachari life for so many years simply because he's chanted the holy name. So, of course, as I mentioned before, this does not mean chanting simply some letters of the alphabet. It is not that I'm a dog eater. Once in a while, I chant a round or two after I fry my dog. That's what dog eater swapacha. Swa means dog, and pacha, pak, means to cook. So one who cooks a dog. Because we may think, oh, this is horrible, cooking dogs. Especially the dogs, I'm sure they don't like that. But it's not that I cook my dog and chant the holy name and I become more elevated than a Brahmin. No, the idea is that one who actually chants the holy name, that by chanting the holy name, he remembers Krishna's form, quality, pastimes, etc. Obviously, this takes some degree of devotion, some intensity of practice, consistency and intensity of practicing the holy name. So that means that one may be born in a dog-eater family. For instance, Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammed family. Mohammedans, they don't eat pigs, but they will eat dogs. They'll eat a number of things. But although he was born in a Mohammedan family, still he became Namacharya. Although according to the customs in India nowadays, or even back then, Haridas Thakur was not even allowed to enter into the Jagannath temple, but still he became the Acharya of the holy name. So that was not a disqualification, his lower birth. Similarly, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, although born in elevated Brahmin families, by bad association they had become degraded to lower class persons, but still, by taking up the process of devotional service, they became so elevated that they're more or less the persons who are able to understand most intimately the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the incarnation in this age. Therefore, the idea is that although, materially speaking, we may find ourselves in different circumstances due to our karma or inevitable circumstances, but if one takes to the process of chanting the holy name and tries to, with all sincerity, do what's necessary to become advanced in chanting, then the result is that although from the material point of view one may seem to be degraded, still internally one will be on the highest platform. That, of course, we may not realize the importance of that, that there is a transcendental platform by obtaining which all one's problems are solved. Although externally it appears that one is suffering, one is going through tribulations, but if one is on that platform, he's quite safe. He's beyond the modes of nature. As it says, that Guru Napi Vichalyate, that even in the greatest heavy difficulty, still one is not disturbed. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, if we had looked at his astrological horoscope, we would have been shocked. His father is going to torture him. His mother is going to feed him poison. He's going to be thrown over a cliff, attacked by elephants, demons. So one may think, wow, what did this person do? So if one looked at it externally, thrown in boiling oil. One may think, oh, what an unfortunate birth. But most fortunate, because it's like Prahlad Maharaj, if we had looked at his astrological horoscope, we would have been shocked. His father is going to torture him. His mother is going to feed him poison. He's going to be thrown over a cliff, attacked by elephants, demons. So one may think, wow, what did this person do? So if one looked at it externally, thrown in boiling oil, one may think, oh, what an unfortunate birth. But most fortunate, because within himself, he was always remembering Krishna. Similarly, the Pandavas were exiled. Their wife was taken away from them. Their kingdom was lost. Everything seemed to go wrong. But they were always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So in the lives of the great devotees, we can see that although externally they may appear to be sometimes put into difficulty, still, because they were absorbed in Krishna consciousness, to them there was no real difficulty. On the other hand, others may appear to be very exalted positions, but if they have no Krishna consciousness, then their position is very shaky. And at any moment, they may be put into some lower species of life, and in that lower species of life, have no recollection at all of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But a devotee, even in the greatest difficulty, and certainly it's difficult being an elephant, being attacked by a crocodile for a few thousand years, but still he was able to remember Krishna. Therefore, Krishna himself personally came and saved him. So we should try to take seriously the chanting of the holy name and the process by which the holy name is revealed, namely devotional service. And by becoming advanced in that way, even in the greatest difficulty, that is, the greatest difficulty is not exactly taking animal form. The greatest difficulty is forgetting Krishna in any form, at any time. And the greatest difficulty generally is at the time of death, when everything becomes, all the life errors, our whole consciousness becomes disturbed. But if one can remember Krishna at that time, then he can, he won't have anything at all to be disturbed about. Nothing is more difficult than that. Therefore, if one can remember Krishna at that time, he has nothing to worry about. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes.
Is it possible that externally we have some of the material castles and obstacles, but internally you do advance? Or do they go before we advance? Or both on the eye?
Well, we may have so many material attachments, but they're not unlimited. And if we give them up, then we can advance. We can give them up, generally we can give them up one at a time. But not that I can keep my material attachments in advance. That's not possible. Unless I take the anchor in, that famous story of the bridegroom party, that there was one wedding party, and they were going to cross the river in the night. And so they got aboard a boat, and all night the boatmen, they rowed the boat. The next morning they found out they were still on the same side of the river. So they started to chastise the boatmen, why didn't you row? You know, we were going to be late for the wedding. But then they looked around and they found out that they had forgot to pull the anchor in. So similarly, if we have many material attachments, conceptions, that unless we give them up, there's no question of advancement. Therefore, devotional service is based upon vairagya, vidya, nidya, bhakti, yoga. That we gain knowledge hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, so that we can become detached from material conceptions and desires. And that way, it is possible that in a purified stage, we can actually develop bhakti. But if we take to the process of devotional service, with all sincerity, it's to be understood that gradually our material desires should diminish. But if we're determined to hold on to them, we're afraid of losing them, then it'll take a long, long time. So we have to have some willingness to give up our material conceptions and desires. That way, devotional service can proceed uninterruptedly.
Yes.
What is especially important in the time of the rest that we can remember well? Is that the secret to chant mantra proper, or is it to execute the night devotion of 24 hour lifetime? Because in the time that I just said, mind is very distressed, so we completely depend on the rest of the Lord.
No, we can't. Of course, you can't. It's not just depending on the mercy of the Lord. You have to do something. You have to do something so that you can get the mercy of the Lord. And doing something means with the body, mind, and words. We have to speak on behalf of Krishna. We have to act for Krishna. And we have to think about Krishna. So it's not just one thing, because you can't do one thing and expect and not do the other thing. So this process, especially Buddha Yoga, we have to get a spiritual vision, and then it's easier to act spiritually and to think spiritually. But without a spiritual vision, without hearing properly, it won't be possible to either understand things properly or to think about things properly or to do things properly. So the basic principle is hearing, because by hearing one can understand things properly, and therefore understanding things properly, the other things, namely doing and thinking, will follow. Yes.
In Bali, where most people are born very low families, and people who are sick.
That surprises you?
Because according to consciousness, we have a plan on where to take our clothes, but how did somebody then take devotion service?
Well, we're trying to take the devotional service. Why do some people take the devotional service and others not? Because the previous activities, generally, as it says, tatratam buddhiyosam yogam lavate paravadehikam yatate jatato buyasam sido purunandana. Because of some previous association with devotional service for the devotees, therefore one was a little inspired. As it says, birds of a feather, they flock together. So some people, they perchance came in association with devotees sometime in the past and became a little enlivened. Maybe they liked the prasadam. Therefore, they took birth again to take some more prasadam. And other persons, they don't like anything about devotional service, the crow-like men, and they'll do it. They took birth to do anything but perform devotional service. So it's due to association and the taste that one gets in such association. Yes.
Well, it was actually a lower birth in the Lumas because he was, although he was in another form, he wasn't having planets.
Well, it's not exact. It may have been the heavenly planets, but the taste there is not, for an elephant, is not exactly heavenly. I mean, it's lower birth. You know, it's hard to say that. I mean, he wasn't a demigod, he was an elephant. Maybe it was a good birth for an elephant. It was a heavenly birth for an elephant, but still, it's not considered a very pious birth. Yeah. Yeah, of course, it's a pastime. But the past, we can't neglect the pastime and say, well, it didn't really happen, it was just a show. It was also to show us something. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.